Open your minds. Have an examining spirit, not a critical spirit, a critiquing one, yes. Test all things. How many? All. Examine them, test them, hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from every form of evil. Okay. God in the midst. Let's examine the scriptures and help you see it through Hebrew eyes. God is in our midst. How rare we see it. How rare we know it. Let's take a great journey tonight together to explore, examine, and come to understand that God is in our midst, ever desiring to be with us. Let's go from Genesis to Revelation for a comprehensive, exhaustive, there's not enough time in time, but we have time and we'll get it done. Genesis 3:8. And they heard. Who heard? Who's the two? Who heard? Adam. Who else? Good. Adam and Adam. There's no such name as Eve at this point. Where's the first reference to Eve? Genesis 3:20. And she will be called Chava. She becomes Chait, the mother of the living. After the fall? Not yet. God created them male and female. He created he them. Genesis 1:26-7. We are taping the class by people's generosity in prayer and giving. We're able to tape it, record it, and within about 15, 20 minutes after class, have a copy of the class in real time for you. So take notes. It's also available after. There's our tapes in the back. Will, would you raise your hand? His fine brother's in the back, and he is a ministry as well in a number of areas. God Squad Apparel. I bought a shirt, and I like what it says. And he has his shirts in the back that honor and glorify God, so feel free to look at those in the back as well after, and we'll leave that on the tape. Okay. Now, Genesis 3:8. God is in Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden. And they heard the voice of the Lord. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Genesis 3:8. Et kol Yahweh Elohim mitalech began in the garden. Hitalech comes from lalechet, to walk. Hitalech, he walked. This is something that's demonstrative in the Hebrew that God did on a regular basis. This was not his first time in the garden. This connotes familiarity. He walked in a garden. This was not the first time. Hitalech, walked, is to put your feet on the ground. Next month when we do scripture twisting, it's on topic for the next month. The month after that we'll do heaven. We have topics God's given us through the end of the year and already starting into next year, because it'll take us the time to sit before him. We're the first student in class to be able to present it to you properly. I will not stand here without him and without having done my homework. In Jesus' name, amen. When your teachers stop learning, you should stop sitting there. Challenge them, and be up to the challenge yourself. Amen? Okay, good. Hitalech began in the garden, in the cool of the day. It doesn't say that. Let's fix the text. I'm a very strong advocate for getting you your Bibles back. I am not interested in which translation you have. I have many at home as well. I've been asked the question, is there a perfect one? Yes, the original one. We have very good copies. We're looking to go back to the original languages to recover the text so you can have that truth that you then will know intimately, which will then free you. The truth that you know is the truth that frees you. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. A lot of people are not free. What's the problem? The term to know in Hebrew is lada'at. It means to know intimately. Not from the neck up, but by experience from the head down. Your walk will talk. Your walk will demonstrate. You know it, not just can repeat or quote a chapter or verse. That puts you at your first grade level in a good Hebrew school. Memorizing the text is a requisite. Being able to demonstrate it shows that you know it. So when someone says how much of the Bible you know, as Westerners, we typically show how much we can quote. Let's see how much you can demonstrate, how much you know intimately. Okay? Okay. God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. L'ruach hayom. Doesn't say in the cool of the day. It doesn't say in. It says le. The lamed prefix, ruach, two or four is this lamed prefix. The term ruach Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. So the term literally means spirit. God was hitalech, walking often on earth, which means in form. This is not a docetic theory. God's not just a spirit. Next month we'll talk about the form of God among scripture twisting and demonstrate God has form, period, and revamp your understanding of what the term spirit means. Now, to or for the spirit. God is walking in the garden. No, in the garden, to the spirit of the day. There's a purpose for this here. There's a spiritual aspect to what's going on. The cool makes no sense whatsoever. What is it, 72 degrees Fahrenheit? Has nothing to do with it. You should have your spiritual antenna up. Well, how would you know? You ask the author. Well, what if I don't know the Hebrew or Greek? Ask the author. How long do you ask? As long as it takes you to get the answer. He's not waiting. We have to get up to his speed and get our cup under his faucet to be able to appropriate it, correct? Spend more time with him. He's very gracious with our levels, where we are at. He'll meet us each where we are, but not keep us there to draw us then to where he is. So meet him, and then get to up to speed where he is. Amen? Okay. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden to the spirit of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. What? What does it say? Give me two translations by hand. In the what? Among what? Among the trees. Anybody else? Anybody else? Among the what? That's way too quiet. I'll see a hand. Anybody else? Good, they can all see you on tape. Good, you've been traumatized in school. Okay. Betoch, say betoch. Toch rhymes with toch. That's it. If I don't have a rhyme for you, this you'll get it twice. Betoch, B-E-T-O-C-H, phonetically, in the midst. That's in a pure middle. That's the absolute mid, okay? Not kind of a little bit inside, in the midst, in the middle of it all. Absolute perfect centralization. Perfect center. The perfect center. God in the midst. God was where? What does it say? Do I have any other translation? Any interlinear Hebrews? I have at least two people here who could work with interlinear Hebrew enough. Anybody? Betoch? Betoch Eitz Hagan. In the midst of Eitz. That's not the past tense of eat. Eitz. Tree. Singular. That's a nice sound. A child, right? All right. In the midst of what? A tree. There's no definite article there. But it can be understood to have one. In the midst of a tree in the garden. If God wanted to make it plural, he would have said plural. If he wants to make it singular, he would make it singular. Very interesting. What is a tree? What is this word, eights? Anybody have heard this word before anywhere? Should take you automatically to where? Good. That'll be the right answer for another question, but it's a good thought. And it's a good thought because you got out of the boat, so heaven's compliment to you. We need more Peters getting out of the boat as opposed to 11 other guys going, well, I don't know. We'll just wait till he comes back. Kind of rough water out there. Maybe it's a ghost. We'll just wait. You ever wait for somebody else to do your faith for you? Okay. Isaiah 9. This is exactly where you should go because this is where we're going. Yeshayahu HaNavi, Isaiah the prophet. 9. Let's see. In English should be a verse difference. 9:6 in English. What is the term? We did this for counselor. Yoetz. The term counselor, within the word counselor, has this word tree. Now that should get your attention. The term counselor, yod, vav, or wa, eitz, ayin, tzadit, sofit, y, o, E-T-S, Yoetz, say Yoetz. And you'll call him Pele Yoetz, El Gibor Aviad, Sot Shalom. You call him Wonderful Counselor. There's no such translation as Wonderful Counselor. Scratch that nonsense out. Pele Yoetz, El Gibor, Mighty God. For the Jehovah's Witnesses and other cults, I'm going to start naming the cults this year. I will not name people. I'm going to help the people and destroy the cults. Is that okay with you? Good. We're going to do it anyway, but I want you to be on board. They said, well, it says Mighty God, not Almighty God. So it must just be Jesus is a lesser God. Turn the page. The next chapter in Isaiah 10:21, the remnant will return to the Mighty God. It's one of God's titles. It's God. All right, that'll clear that up. Helps to keep reading. Pele, Yoetz, El Gibor, Mighty God, Aviad, Everlasting Father, Sod Shalom, Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6 in English. Yod Vav Ein Tzadi. The last two letters here, Tzadi Sofit. The last two letters here are the same two letters. Oh, what are those the same two letters as? Look at the board on the other side. What's the word for tree? Eights, very good. That's what I want to hear. I want the Hebrew, very good. Eights, all right, eights. And Yoetz means what? Counselor. What is a tree? Are you not the planting of the Lord? Can a tree grow without roots? Does anybody see the root? Not from the surface, but you can tell it by its fruit. You're doing a lot of work, many of you, on yourselves in your walk with God. No one's going to see that. They won't see the work you do. They'll see the product you produce. You don't need to show people the roots. Show them the fruit. If there ain't any fruit, I'm going to look, wonder where that root is. You shouldn't have to wonder. You don't have to ask somebody, are you a male or female? Hopefully not. It should be easier, hopefully not. It's a qualified. It should be easier for you to discern if someone's a Christian or not, because you are a new species. People should stop you and see the Spirit of God in you and see you and the Lord as one, because God is in your midst. Yoetz, the tree. What is the word tree? The Hebrew tells us everything. Ayin means what? To see, I understand, perception, insight. The tzadi, which is in its final form, one of your five Hebrew letters with final form, means basically to draw or to harvest. So it's to understand the harvesting, or understand what it is to draw, to pull. Wait a minute, isn't Christ the vine and we are to draw from him? Don't you draw from the source? Aren't you not the planting of the Lord? Where are you going to get your strength? It's got to come from the roots up. If you received Christ as Lord, Colossians 2:6, so walk in him. Doesn't say in that text, with him. Having been, listen to the tree, rooted and being built up in him, established in the faith. In the first half of the next verse, 2:7, Colossians. Yoetz. A tree will give you understanding of the harvest, the final harvest. Yod is a hand or work, crucified man who is crucified on the tree. Does that look familiar? Where's your counsel going to come? From the counselor. And he paid a price for you and I. God is in the midst, in the garden. He points to one tree. You know, there was one tree in history that had a very special purpose, didn't it? Where did these two decide to hide? Wonder. You ever run right backwards into God? Were you trying to run from him? Oh, hey, I was looking for you. Two lies are not good. One is bad enough. Two is twice as bad, okay? I've seen people run right backwards into God. Just like Jonah, who went to the edge of the world. We did a teaching on Jonah. Very nice. Jonah, what does his name mean? Say it again. Perfect. Dove. Who's his father? Amittai. The root word is Emmet. Truth. Jonah, the dove. Son of truth. Dove. Truth. Spirit of truth. You're looking for the story. It's already in the names. It's always in the names. What are the five things, or at least four, the name connotes? A name connotes essence. A name, identity. Character. Nature. Okay? Essence. Good. So in the midst of what? A tree. They were hiding themselves from the presence of God. Is that possible? Okay. You're correct in this one. I'm going to give you another one. Is God's presence everywhere present? Yes. How then could Cain run and leave from the presence of God as he leaves? How can he? Where would he go? Different story. Different story. You can run and leave from the presence of God, and you can also never be away from the presence of God. Obviously, there's a failure of language. The English will fail us. The Shekinah, the visible presence of God, the fire by day and a smoking torch, right? Smoking torch in the pillar of cloud by night, by day and by night, cloud, fire, was visibly in the midst of the Jew. An Egyptian that left with the Jews. You could move and leave from the visible presence of God, who walked in the garden himself, period. So he could leave the presence of God, but the other presence, that is omnipresence, no. Both are to be understood and to know what is the context for each one. Otherwise, you're reading something, you don't know what to use where, and you'd be in trouble. Genesis 3:9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? Who wanted to know? Who wanted to know? Who asked the question? Yes, who wanted to know? God did not want to know, or else you imply God learns. God didn't ask a question for himself. We do that. We ask a question because we need an answer. God doesn't learn. There are things he doesn't do. He doesn't lie. He doesn't learn. He doesn't change, for starters. If he doesn't learn, there's no need to ask a question for information he already has. So who needed the question to be asked? Yes. Who? Adam, he and she. Why? Because they didn't know where they were. So the first thing is to pose the question, where are you? And force you to look at a question that demands an answer. A question, obviously, they were not mature enough to ask of themselves yet, because they were hiding, you know, at that tree. Yeah. Very good job. Hide from God. That'll work. He made everything and everybody and everybody. This looks like a perfect place to hide. Never find me here. This is good. Anybody ever try to hide from God? Hide what you do? Remember when Moses struck the Egyptian? What two directions did he look in? He looked side to side. He never looked up. How come the next day everybody knew what he hid? If you plant a lie, it will grow. Whatever you birth and you plant will grow. Isn't that interesting? Hiding doesn't work too well, does it? Not at all. What does the end of Ecclesiastes say? God will bring everything to light, that which is hidden, whether it's good or evil. He'll examine it all. Hebrews 4:13, there's no creature hidden from his sight, but everything is laid bare before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Better to come right to God. That was one of David's key attributes. He would come to God, and he knew how to repent. It's sad you have something to repent of, but don't make two mistakes. Do not let it fester. Sin will take you down. It's taken down some of the mighty. Don't let it have a place in your soul. What does Jesus say in John 14:30? The world ruler is coming, and he has nothing. Where? In me. In me, there's no place to land a hook, a claw, something in me that's his that he would have legal access right to go after. Nothing. You win all the battles inside, you'll win all the battles on the outside. You don't win them inside, you won't win them outside. Before you fight outside, you better fight on the inside. You don't win them on the inside, there's somebody who knows how to sift you and hunt you down and see if there's anything in your closet that's his stuff. So get this all straight with the Holy Spirit and get them fixed. Then go fight the fight. Okay? All right. 3:22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. 3:23 and 4. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Gan Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. Next verse. Well, let's say there. Adam was taken from Adama. It's a wordplay. So God, he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden kerubim and a flaming sword, la'at cherev, which turned every way, hamit ha-pechet, every way to keep, or lishmor, to guard the way to the tree of life. It's chayim. Okay. A blank page. A teacher's joy. Good. That's good. Did God want to send them forth? No. Did God put him in a place of fellowship and for growth? Yes. What drove him out? Their own sin. God will have no fellowship with sin. What would happen if he was left? He would take of the tree of life and live forever in a sin state. Not permissible. So what was wrong, death, became now an avenue for a release. When you look at the entire, let me open your scope up for a moment, the entire biblical account, and you study it carefully, very, very carefully. Hasatan, the fall of Satan, Lucifer, Hasatan, the adversary, was before, not after, before Genesis 1:1. Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim ve'et ha'aretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Before the beginning of this universe. Heavens and earth is a merism. It means everything. Heavens and earth means everything. before that, there was a fall of this being, this cherub, this being, with a third of the angelic host. This universe was put into motion and made by God for a plan of redemption. And when it's all said and done at the end of the millennial, Revelation 20, 11 to 15, God will take heaven and earth, it will flee from before him and find no place. All the dead will be judged, and a new creation will be brought in, Revelation 21 and following, 21. I saw a, and this is typical Hebrew style, what is and what is not. I saw a new heavens and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth passed away and is no longer sea. And we'll teach on that later. This is not a renovation. The Greek will not really allow you to do that, nor the Hebrew. And what's commonly mixed up is the millennial reign of Christ, the thousand-year reign of Christ, mentioned six times in Revelation 20, with the time after that, in which there's a new heavens and new earth, 2 Peter 3, 9 and following, in which a world in which only righteousness dwells. Righteousness will not be the only thing that dwells in a millennial kingdom. There will still be people who sin. A person who dies at 100 will be thought to have died as a baby. Oh, little babe, what happened to the kids? Only 100. There will be a rebellion at the end of that time. That's not, by definition, a time in which only righteousness dwells. Satan is loosed for a season. He draws people like the sand of the sea from the world. That's an amazing thing unto itself. God in the midst, here, on his throne, in power and glory and grace, with all his angels. Matthew 25, 31. His church in glory, ruling and reigning. Satan's loosed, and he still finds people who follow him like the sand of the sea around the world. The heart is desperately sick, incurably sick. Who can understand it? People will still have the choice to make a choice, and with God in front of them, the church before them, truth everywhere, a perfect, if you will, near-perfect environment in which to grow. Children will put their hands on a viper's den and not be hurt. Habakkuk 2, 14, and Isaiah 11, 9. Habakkuk has it a little longer phrase. They will neither hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2:14 and Isaiah 11:9. And people still choose. Isn't that crazy? Could you imagine a person in which God himself lives inside still choose to even sin? How could a Christian still choose to at times sin? We point the finger at the Israelites. Well, God is doing miracle after miracle in their midst. He's not in them, though he's with them. He won't be in them, John 7, 37 to 39. Until the Lord is glorified, the Holy Spirit will be with you, but then be in you after he is resurrected. The Holy Spirit will come upon people in the Old Testament, in the Tanakhic times, pre-cross. At times, he will go in the person, but not stay, not reside, and then leave. That's why King David could say in Psalm 51 his repentance psalm after Bathsheba. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You can't pray that because you are sealed by the Holy Spirit and with the Holy Spirit. You are sealed until the day of redemption, period. You can't lose it. You can put the relationship in a strain and be at odds with God himself. But what he inscribed on the palm of his hands, Isaiah 49, 15 and 16, you ain't erasing. You didn't get it by works. You're not losing it by works, period. I would want to stay with the right alignment, though. Sin caused these two to be thrown out of the garden. They were not sealed in their sin. They were thrown out. So sin could die on a cross. Death would die on a cross. I had a discussion with a Muslim once, and I said, I'm going to prove to you that everyone has, there's a sin issue. I said, everybody dies. Most everybody. Romans 5, 12. Inasmuch as one man sinned, and through sin, death entered into the world. Death passed unto all men, inasmuch as all men have sinned. People sin. Shalom, shalom. So he drove the men out, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden. What did he put there? What are they called? Those little fuzzy, round what? Cherubim. Cherubim. How would you write that in English? C-H, you would say ch, but it's k with a K. Cherubim. It's transliterated, right? And you got these nine little cherubs, nine little round things. You want to rub them on the head, the little bellies. That's not an excuse to gain weight either. But look at them. Look how good they are. Cherubim. What is the root word of this here? Krov. Kaf, resh, bet. Krov. K-R-O-V. Ovi. The kingdom of God is what? Near. The kingdom of God is not near. It's so near, it's here. Bad translation. Misses the Hebrew. The kingdom of God is here. I'm too loud? Good. Thank you. It's good to ask after, right? That was a great time to ask if it was too. Should ask before. Clove. Well, wait a minute. I had a Sunday school picture when I was little. It really would have been a Saturday school picture, okay? Little Jewish boy. And you had Adam and, you know, we'll say Eve, coming out of the garden, and there was this angel over there with a sword, kind of slim, nice-looking guy, holding a sword like this here, and that's what they told me. So what am I? A kid. And I was just, well, hey, they're bigger than me, and down here longer than me, they must know what they're talking about. Not always. You get a little older, you start to read it for yourself and find out, wait a minute, one angel against Adam and the other Adam? Now it's Eve, right? Because it's the fall has already occurred, right? Isaiah 37, one angel destroys 185,000 crack troops of the Assyrian army, and you didn't want to be captured by the Assyrians. They were brutal. They would skin you alive. They would throw up a stake, and they started crucifixion and put you on top and just impale you. They would put hooks in your nose and chin or ears and drag you through the streets when they parade their enemies in front of people, making a public display of them. Sounds familiar. When a situation's reversed, Colossians 2, 14 and 15 and 15. He made a public, he disarmed rulers and authorities. He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through it. Having triumphed. What's that word? Triumphed over them through it. That would have been a scene to make in a movie. So the demonic hordes being paraded through the heavens and make a public display of them. Treat them like defeated foes. It'll bug them terribly. But it's the truth. The truth really bothers people who don't believe in the truth or like it. Isn't that the truth? Yeah. 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 Right makes might. Use it. It's your safety net. A lie you can die from. Okay. Krov. Now, so you have one angel. What's being used? Does it make sense? Wait a minute. This term lishmorta, to guard or to keep, lishmor, L-I-S-H-M-O-R, means to guard or to keep. Or it means, to a good Hebraicist, it means to guard and to keep. Well, why is that? God gets maximum mileage out of his words. We want at times to restrict the word to a singular meaning because we like things in very nice, neat little boxes. Well, expand your box. We're going to get more things in there. Okay? The breadth and a length and a depth and a height. Let's fill it in. To guard the way to the tree of life. Why? So they couldn't come back and be sealed in their sin state forever. But wait a minute. There's also angelic beings. It's to guard the way for Adam, one way to return. One day he will return. And to keep out the satanic hordes and all those that would one day follow the same evil path. That doesn't make them Satanists. Many people going to hell are not Satanists or even believe in Satan. But they are Satan-like. They exalt themselves. They're doing the same manner of things. And you talk to them. You talk to some of these people. Satan, I don't believe in any of that stuff. No, but you got an apartment right next to him. You know? You are Satan-like. You say, I will. And God says, no, you don't. Man will talk at whatever he says, but out of the words of your mouth, there we go. So, this is to guard the way and to keep the way to the tree of life. Well, do you have any examples of who's coming back to the tree of life? Sure. Revelation 2:7. To the one who overcomes, I will give to him, to her. Put your names in there. To him or her who overcomes to eat of the tree of life which is in the paradise of God. Well, who's the one who overcomes? 1 John 5:5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, this is the one who overcomes the world. Your faith in him who has overcome makes you an overcomer. How could you be more than a conqueror? Because you are walking in the victory of the conqueror. If he's already conquered everything, how could you be more than a conqueror? Many of us are trying to conquer what's already been conquered. Do you understand? So even if you win, you lose. Because you're fighting a battle that's already been fought. You have to be able to say, which we did in a class we did last time on time. Time, times, and the times we live in. gegraptai in Greek, it is written. Jesus uses three times against the adversary that same Bible that's on your hearts and souls as well as in front of you. Satan happened to accept the truth of it more than some people do. Three times. This word, it is written, is a very interesting thing. Literally, it says, it was written. But it's in the perfect tense, which means, just think of the word perfect. Its results are finished in the past, and it continue throughout all time. So, it was written, it is, and it will be. That's the way it is. And Satan goes, uh-huh. Now watch your enemy carefully. He is very crafty and very stupid. What's the French term, stupide? I love that. It's stupid. Stupid. Yet crafty. He comes to the author of the book himself and challenges him on his own book. He does. He came to the author himself quoting from the book. He didn't use anything else. He didn't say what the guys downtown were doing, what the other people are doing. He said, isn't it say in your book? Isn't it written? Three times. He uses the same book against the author who uses his own book, the same book, against its denier. You better know that word. You know why? Because one of the principal points of the cults is to counterfeit. A counterfeit's going to look as close as they can to the real. I have met people who are not believers who can quote and give you that scripture that you would wonder if they were in seminary or had a doctorate somewhere, and they believe it all the less. And they will say, doesn't it say in your book? I've had people come impressed by some of the cults, how well they can quote the scripture while they're going to be still going to hell. You have to know that scripture like the author himself. And you have to do what you should do is be able to take apart anything they say with the scripture to the point one answer silenced Satan. The next answer silenced him immediately. The next answer silenced him immediately. You didn't need to take 2 hours or 20 times repeating the same thing. It was an answer that went right to the heart of it there. And make sure we get to Isaiah later where I'll talk to you, and I've done this before, but it bears anew how to attack the enemy properly. Kerubim, and a flaming sword, lahat cherev, which turned, hamit ha pechet. In that picture I had as a little boy, you got the angel holding the sword. There's not one angel there, it's kerubim. Im makes it a plural. This last two set of letters, the yod mem in Hebrew, makes it a plural form, which means two or more, often more. God stationed a company, at least, of kerubim there. This is the highest ranking group of angels that we know in Scripture. Why? It surely wasn't to fight Adam. You could put a first day angel, a little baby angel over there and go, get out of here. And Adam and Eve would have been no match for that one if he was sleeping with one foot, period. No match, really. No match at all. Why would God, who's perfect in his economy and absolutely wise in all his affairs and business, station a company of men there? Well, last time I checked, there was another cherub who fell and took one-third of the angelic host with him. And they would do anything to get back into that garden and get to that tree. And God said, put his angels there, guard that way. Keep them out, let them in. End of story. Keep those angels out, let my people come back. Because they will partake one day, those others may never. And those angels are sir, yes sir. And no one gets by them. I ask people a test question. The answer is right based on your soul. And it could change. Who do you want to see in heaven after Yeshua, after the Lord, after this Father, Son, Holy Spirit, triune God? The answer is you. It just tells something about you. Some want to see John the Baptist because he fought alone. He stood alone. Others, Mary. We're going to see everybody. Who do you want to see first? You have your. Everybody will have something. I want to see the angels who never fell and never sinned when they had a chance. I want to talk to those two-thirds who stood with God when they had a chance to leave with HaSatan and watch one-third of their family, of the angelic host that they knew like this, leave. They didn't just leave heaven. It technically means they burnt their bridges behind them. They said, to hell with heaven. And heaven said, to hell with you. And that was the bottom final answer. Heaven will always have the last word, the first word, the first and the last word, and every other word in between, because no other word really matters, does it? Like a leaf in the wind. I want to talk to them and find out what was in their head when they said yes to God, no to sin, yes to the Lord, no to the choice, yes to God, we stand with you. And never sinned, never needed the cross, never needed the blood, never needed redemption, stayed with God to this day. We fell from the beginning. And you know what? It only took one sin. One for us and one for them. It only takes one. When mankind sinned, the universe went black. Everything died. Creation, soil, environment, humanity, and all the generations to follow. When man died, all of the children died in the womb. Every future generation that would come out was automatically killed. You killed a whole line with every soul that dies. Every abortion, every killing, every murder. That's devastating. But through one man, life came back in a dark place. In the midst of the darkness, John 1:5. A better translation is this. And in the darkness, and the light in the darkness, in the mist, and the light in the mist, in the darkness shines. That's a proper Greek translation. The light in the darkness shines. And the darkness cannot kataleban, it cannot overpower it, comprehend it. So basically the darkness goes, huh, huh, and it tries. It can't comprehend it, it can't grasp it, prendere, it can't put a hand on it there, and it can't overpower it. And the light says, in the darkness, shines. Any of you ever felt like God puts you in the midst of some darkness? I'm not talking about sin. That's your stuff or mine. I'm talking about in the midst of a troubled situation. You know what that situation should really be called? A place of need. And God, a place of need, a needy place, a place of need. And God says, will you go with me? Will you go with me? There's a dark place there. Let's go. It needs the light. And we go, well, it is terrible here. Well, that's why you're there, soldier. You've been volunteered. I don't know. Somebody didn't tell you when you were saved, you were also put a uniform on you. Are you not a good soldier not to be entangled with the affairs of this world? It is a fight. It's a good fight. Isn't it good that God says it's not just a fight? I fought the good fight. There are good fights, there are bad fights. This is a fight worth having. You should have at least that spirit like he had in Braveheart, based on obviously a true story. I'm going to go pick a fight. All my stuff's okay. Let's go pick a fight. Go find somebody who has a need. And go pick off whatever's picking them. You have a right. Well, I'm not the priest in their household. You are a priest of God. Those walls disappear. You have authority over other people and their families when you go in God's name. The prophets walked right into kings, into bedrooms, into homes. Who told you you can't go into another man's home and say, you are sinning. Stop hitting your wife. Don't beat your children. You in my home. Give me the verse. Give me the verse. You to defend the widow and the orphan. If that person's in need, meaning both classes, widows and orphans, or anyone in need, that person's being abused, get yourself in between the abuser and the abused and be a wall and stop that abuse. Don't let it go on. This is our world. I don't care if somebody puts up four walls and says it's my home. It may be your home, but it's not your world, and you surely can't do this before God's people. Don't give tacit assent to sin. When it's in your power to do good, do good. Period. And if you have to choose between violating a law of man and violating a law of God, I hope the choice is easy for you. Somebody better defend these people. I'm sick and tired of watching these news programs. You're the news. Make it and stop it before it ends up on the next day's news. Amen? If God's in the midst and God's in the middle of us, what should we be in the middle of? Okay. This is the problem with the sword here. Hamit ha-pechet. This is in the form, the sword turning. It means turning in every direction by itself. It's not held by an angel. It's not held by any of the cherubim. I had to change that picture in my head as I got older and started to work in the language myself. It's in called the hitpael form. The hitpael is a reflexive form in Hebrew. This is the way to learn grammar so you can use it. You comb your own hair. You brush your own teeth. That sword is turning itself. We on earth, we see somebody got a sword. It's not going to turn itself. Somebody got to hold it and wield it. Not so. When it's God's sword, that sword is there turning in every single direction. Not just a sword, a flaming sword. Fire typically represents judgment. This is a flaming sword of God. I would hate to be near, let alone be the person who tried to get back in that garden, past God's green berets. This is the best fighting force, period. The kerubim and that flaming sword, one way and the other, no one's getting through. That makes sense? Except when you say, I'm with him, the way will be parted, and the way is straight, and the gate is narrow that leads to life. God will say, enter into this kingdom with the joy of the Lord prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. It's worth every single thing times infinity. Genesis 28. And Jacob, Yaakov, went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. 28, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, we go all the way to, 22. And he lighted upon a certain place. I want you to be sensitive to this. This is how the Bible affects Hebrew. A place, makom, M-A-K-O-M, a place. A place. Now that usually doesn't grab you yet. Ma kom. Mem kuf or kof. Vav or wa mem sofit. M A K O M. Place. Same ma kom. Right? Like a comb you comb your hair with and ma. There's ma's comb. Okay? Ma kom. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took one of the stones of that place. How many times have you heard it so far? Place, place, and put them for his pillows and lay down in that makom, place. The rabbis didn't miss this. Three times. This is almost unheard of in the Bible for the same word to be mentioned not just once. Every word in the Bible is mentioned at least once. Good. You're with me. There's the rest coming up. There are some words mentioned twice. Abram, Abram. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, on and on. Few words are mentioned three times. Kadosh, 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 Yahweh Tzivaot, Meloch al Haaretz Kavodo. Holy, holy, holy. Kadosh, 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 Yahweh Tzivaot, Meloch al Haaretz Kavodo. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And the whole earth is filled. Full of his glory. Three times. Here's another place in the Bible, one of the rare threes. There is a place he comes to. There is a place he takes a stone from. There is a place. What is this place? What is this place? That God himself mentions three times. The first five books, every single letter, as the scriptures will give you, is of God. There's 304,805 letters. Not one more, not one less. Every letter builds a word, every word starts to build a sentence and an idea. Makom. What happens? He puts his head down on one of the stones. What is the word for stone here? You have different words for stone. Genesis what? Where's the word stone? Okay. Any ideas? Stone. We have a couple that are still going to work with me on their Bibles. Interlinear. It's one of the stones, right? Is it? What is the name? Where's the word stone? Genesis 28:11, right? Okay, we shall. 28:11. What do we think that is? Evan? Sure? Okay. Spell Evan. How would you spell it? Good. 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 Take the question mark off. Spell it again. Yes. Almost. A noon what? Yes. 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 And then, Aleph. Then what? Ev-ven? Good. Evan. You'd write it in English like the word even, but you'd say Evan, stone. One of the several names for a stone we have, or in the Bible, actually stone. Evan. This is a composite. He puts his head down on one of the stones. It is a specific stone. He puts his name, but look at the word carefully. Let your eyes split in the middle of this word. And make two words out of it. What's the first word? Av. Av. Av means what? Av means what? Father. Father. Av. And what is the second? Ben. Son. Oh, wait a minute. And when you put the Father and the Son together, you get this word name, Evan, stone. Rock is a different word. The Father and the Son. What does it say in John 10:30? I and the Father. Good. In case you need to look at it later. Yes, of course, I have it here. I had to get the latest edition, a fourth edition of the Greek New Testament, which makes no changes from the third edition. This is the latest publication, but the notes are different. It's the latest edition from the best scholars out there. It maintains, Ani v'ha'av echad anachnu. In the Hebrew, I and the Father, we are one. In the Greek, ego kai hapater hen esmen. I and the Father, we are one. It doesn't say I and the Father are one. Bad, bad, bad. John 10:30. I and the Father is used by the cults, making the Father and the Son the same. The Jesus-only movement, UPC, in many of its branches, if not the whole. The Father, Jesus is the Father, Jesus is the Son, Jesus is the Holy Spirit. That's heresy. And they will quote that verse. Unfortunately, they don't have good scholarship on there. Like, let's not go too far there. They just don't have the scholarship that they should. I and the Father, we are one. Not the Father is the Son or the Son is the Father. We. I hope you don't tell somebody we're coming and it's only you. We is a plural, all right? If you are, we need to examine both of you. You and whatever is stringing along with you. There may be something stringing along, but I hope the identity is not that close, all right? Evan makes these two together, one yet distinct. In English, you'll never see it. See, stone, S-T-O-N-E, hurrah.